Page 1078, top left-hand corner. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world."
Brilliant. Well, happy Easter, everyone. My name's Tim, if we've not met. And all of us together are going to have a little bit think about that story, which is not about Jesus' resurrection, you may have noticed, but actually is a story that comes just before Jesus raises someone else from the dead and points towards what he himself is going to do and the significance of it. And so we're going to spend a little bit of time together getting excited, hopefully, about Jesus' resurrection. His resurrection is exciting. It is gloriously life-changing. And I want us to see what Jesus' resurrection tells us about him, and what his resurrection means for us. So first of all, what does Jesus' resurrection tell us about him? Jesus' resurrection confirms he is the Son of God and the Messiah. It confirms he is the Son of God and the Messiah. And throughout his ministry, Jesus did lots of miraculous signs to show people who he truly was. I'm just going to check if this works. There we go. I think it's working. Jesus did lots of miraculous signs to show people who he was. And John, in his book, which we've just read from here, he records 7 of these signs for us. 7 signs that he thinks together will help us believe Jesus really is God's king, bringing God's rescue. You see on the screen there, at the end, a verse is just from the end of John. He says, "Look, I have written," Jesus did loads of miracles, "but I've written these 7 things so that you might believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And that's the very thing as well here Martha says, "Yes, I believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God." These signs are significant, and the last 2 signs are the climactic ones that are meant to leave us in no doubt at all, and they're all about Jesus' power over death. So he raises Lazarus, his friend, from the grave. And a few verses after what Anthony read for us, we hear Jesus calls out in a loud voice. He says, "Lazarus, come out." And Lazarus, wrapped up like an Egyptian mummy, comes walking out of the tomb. He's alive again. And then how do you beat that with your final miraculous signs? You just brought someone back to life again. How do you beat that with your final miraculous sign? Well, you beat it by coming back to life yourself. Jesus himself rose from the tomb on the 3rd day. And Jesus would never die again. You see, with Lazarus, when Jesus brought him back to life, he was giving Lazarus a chance to live for a few more years. But Lazarus was still mortal. You know, a few years down the line, illness or old age would catch up with him and he'd die again. But with Jesus, from that moment on the first Easter Sunday, when he sat up, took off his Egyptian mummy clothes and walked out of the tomb, from that moment there has been a human being who is immortal. Jesus defeated death, he'd never die again. Well, they are incredible signs of power and authority, aren't they, that prove Jesus really is the Son of God. The one who invented the laws of science, well, he's the one person who can easily overrule those laws if he so chooses. Jesus' resurrection is the final unanswerable argument in the court case. It's the goal in the match that seals the victory. There is no way back for Jesus' opponents after this to oppose the risen Jesus is to choose to be on the losing side. That verse we began the service with, it was impossible for death to keep a hold on the Son of God. And his resurrection proves that. And yet Jesus' resurrection is about more than just proving he's God. It also proves he's the successful Messiah. You know, when you play computer games, anyone here play computer games? There's that moment, isn't there, when the fireworks go off or the party poppers pop and it flashes up, mission completed. You know that moment? Mission completed. Well, the resurrection is that moment for Jesus. Mission completed, salvation accomplished. Or think about what happens when you throw a stone into a pond. Can anyone tell me what happens when you throw a stone into a pond? Anyone know? Henry, do you know what happens when you throw a stone into a pond? Yeah, it gives a big splash, a really big splash. And then what happens? Yeah, ripples. Okay, exactly right. You throw a stone in the pond, there's a big splash, and there are the ripples that spread far and wide. Well, Jesus' resurrection is like the big splash moment, okay? Boom! Jesus risen from the dead. Unmissable. But then that sends out ripples far and wide that changes everything for us. And it's this that Jesus sits down and talks about with Martha. There she is, her brother's just died. She's grieving his death. And Jesus says to her, look, let me tell you what I'm going to do for your brother. But actually he says, look, what I'm going to do for your brother right now is pretty straightforward. He's going to be with us again shortly. You know, I'm the Son of God. I can give him back his breath just like that. I'm going to raise him from the dead. But then Jesus says, let me also take the opportunity to tell you about something even greater that I'm going to do for your brother and for you and for your sister Mary and for my disciples and actually for anyone who trusts me. You see, because Jesus went into battle and he battled with death and he came out victorious on the other side, because he is the resurrection and the life, as he says here, he now gets to offer us those same things. And so let's think about what Jesus offers us because of his resurrection. First of all, he promises us that our death won't be the end. Our death won't be the end. So this here, this is the normal way of life, way of things, isn't it? Okay, we're born, we live our life, which is the blue arrow, and at some point we die. Now, hopefully that blue arrow involves many, many years, long life, you know, 80, 90 years. Hopefully it involves lots of really happy things, but not always. Sometimes, sadly, people's lives are shorter, aren't they, or less happy, and we can be sure it always ends up at the grave. But look at what Jesus says, the one who believes in me will live even though they die. He says, because of my resurrection, because I came back from the dead, beat death, the one who believes in me will live even though they die. Jesus is saying, our death when it comes doesn't have to be the end. He is offering us life after death. Now, quite a lot of people believe in some kind of life after death, don't they? For many, they expect it to be quite a different experience to what we experience now, you know, a little bit more floaty and dreamlike. But Martha, I don't know if you noticed in this story, she believed in life after death. And she understood that life after death was a physical existence with a body like we have now, because she was a faithful Jewish woman. And the scriptures told her there was a body resurrection to come on the last day. But Jesus is about to add a crucial piece to the jigsaw for her. He's about to answer the question, how is that possible for there to be a future day when bodies are raised again and given new life? How is it possible to be reunited with loved ones in the future? How is that possible because of Jesus and the victory he won over death when he came out of the tomb? I am the resurrection and the life, he says. You see, Jesus, he helps Martha connect the dots and understand that life beyond the grave is possible because of him. Because of what he is going to do when he talks to her. Because of what he has done as we look back. The Easter story makes it possible. And we know, don't we, when Jesus rose from the dead, he wasn't a ghost. Anyone remember any things that Jesus did after he came back from the dead? It doesn't just have to be children who contribute. Anyone? Yes? He did, yes. So he met his disciples and he spoke with them. Brilliant, yes. Anyone, anything else that Jesus did after he rose from the dead? Yes, Pierre. He ate fish. Yeah, he enjoyed good food. In fact, he had a barbecue on the beach as well. Anyone else remember anything else he did? We saw some of it in the video. What did he do in the video? Yes? Yeah, and he went on that walk with them, didn't he? He went on that walk with them and he sat down, he had another meal with them. Some of his disciples touched him. I guess they hugged him. All sorts of things, physical things Jesus did when he rose from the dead, because he wasn't just a ghost. He had a real body. And so for Jesus, so for us. Our future, that second blue arrow, our future life after the grave that will go on forever, it's going off the edge of the screen. Well, that'll be just as bodily as this life. Enjoying all the good things we do now, but wonderfully without any of the stuff that so often ruins it. You know, we'll enjoy hugs as well, but we'll never hug someone to comfort them because no one will be upset. And we'll enjoy nice food without any fears about allergies. We'll go for walks with friends with no worries about blisters or dodgy hips. And we'll hang out on the beach. Have a barbecue on a summer's evening without any worries about those pesky midges biting us. Death is not the end. There is an amazing future with physical, immortal bodies that will follow. And death can be quite a scary thing, can't it? We don't like to think about it. But actually, if we trust Jesus, we can think about it. And we can face it when the moment comes. And not be scared because we know it's not the end. The risen Jesus has beaten death and he will bring us out the other side, just like he came out the other side. So that's the first thing Jesus wants Martha to understand. But there's more. You know, if Jesus had stopped there, I guess we would be left with an amazing future to look forward to. Perhaps we would feel like this life is just a waiting room. And a pretty bad waiting room if right now actually life feels quite hard or we're facing things that make us feel sad. Maybe we're just left thinking, well, I hope this life goes as quickly as possible. But Jesus wants us to see actually this life can be much more than just a waiting room. Because look at the second half of what he says to Martha. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And Jesus, he turns from talking about being physically alive, that's the top one, to being spiritually alive. It's time for another arrow, actually. as we see that our life now is full of purpose. You see, that moment when we first trust Jesus, which is represented here by the hands that are praying, just representing that first moment where someone turns and prays that prayer of, God, I'm sorry, I trust Jesus. From that moment onwards, whenever that happens in our physical life, we are spiritually alive. We have spiritual life, which means we're friends with God again. We get to enjoy the relationship with him that we were made for. Jesus talks elsewhere about life in all its fullness. And he doesn't mean you've got to experience absolutely everything there is to experience in this world, because Jesus never went to Disneyland. I don't know if that's a surprise to you. Jesus never went to Disneyland. He never went whitewater rafting. He never saw the seven wonders of the world. Now, when he talks about life in its fullness, he means life knowing God, being able to call God Father, being forgiven and empowered by the Holy Spirit to live in a way that pleases God. That is life to the full. That is being spiritually alive. And that is what Jesus made possible also at the very first Easter, as he triumphed over sin and Satan and death at the cross and then walked out of the tomb. Have you noticed what's so good about this yellow arrow? It doesn't get broken by the grave. Once we become alive in this way, well, that lasts forever. We are spiritually immortal. See, Jesus says that whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Sure, our bodies will go to the grave for a while, but spiritually we'll never die. Did you realize, if you're a Christian, we are not waiting for eternal life to start the other side of the grave. That second blue arrow is not where eternal life starts. We're living it already. The most significant death to life moment has already taken place, that moment we first believed in Jesus, because resurrection power has been at work in us ever since then. And so we don't need to wait until we get those immortal bodies before we really start enjoying life with God and life serving him wholeheartedly. We can start right now. Our life right now has real purpose because Jesus rose from the dead. So what have we seen? We've seen Jesus really did rise from the dead, proved that he was the Son of God. We've seen death actually, therefore, is nothing to be feared. And we've seen that life to the full with God is possible right now. And so, as we finish, to all of us, the question that Jesus asked Martha: do you believe this? This new resurrection life, we don't get given it automatically, but the way to receive it is so simple. Simply, Jesus says, look, do you believe this? Are you willing to believe and put your trust in me, the risen Lord Jesus? No one is too old or too young to start believing in Jesus. Maybe another question to ask, does your life have a yellow arrow yet? And if, like Martha, we do already believe, well, we probably need encouragement sometimes, don't we? Especially when life is hard. What better place to start by echoing her words? Actually, I was thinking earlier how helpful to imagine her repeating these same words a few weeks later, but with even more conviction as she hugged the risen Lord Jesus. Maybe she was there at the barbecue on the beach with him. Imagine her repeating these words a few weeks later as she knew he really had come back from the dead. Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. I'm going to pray for all of us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that Jesus really did rise from the dead. Thank you that confirms that he is the very Son of God, your beloved Son. But thank you also, just like that stone thrown into the pond, thank you that his big splash of coming out of the grave has had ripples that reach even us. Thank you that we can experience life beyond the grave. And thank you that we can experience spiritual life, life in all its fullness right now with you, simply by trusting Jesus. Help us all to do that. Amen.